Morning. I think I've got a picture of my family I'll put up here. If you want to see them in person, my two-year-old daughter is currently overseeing the little playroom back there in the corner, allowing my wife to play a little bit. So one of the things that you'll notice first is probably my thick Afrikaans accent. It's baie thick and lekker. So much so that you may actually think that it's American. And as Mike mentioned, I do come from America, but I do now view myself as South African. And one of the reasons why is because God was so graceful to bless me with a South African wife, brought her all the way from South Africa to San Diego, California, to sweep me off my feet and forever change my life. But it was a bit of a process pursuing her, if I must say so. She had only planned to go to America for 2 years. In fact, her mom, as her mom dropped her off at the airport, she told Sue Marie, promise me you won't marry an American and never come back. To which Sue Marie, of course, said, I promise, Mom, I promise. And here we are, but we are back, at least in South Africa. But she did marry an American. And as I was pursuing Sue Marie, she told me that I needed to at least be open to moving to South Africa. And the godly man that I was at the time, I said, of course I'm willing to move to a country that I know very little about and have never been to before. And I was honest about that, in case you were wondering. But I did tell her that we wouldn't just move because she missed her family. I would truly have to believe that God is leading us there. And she, by God's grace, she accepted that answer. She chose me to be her husband, and we got married June 2015, so about 4.5 years ago. And now we have a 2-year-old baby girl, Ariel. And sure enough, 7 months later, out of the blue, one Sunday, I felt the Lord give me an impression that he wanted us to go specifically to Cape Town, South Africa, and lead a discipleship movement from there. And to a lot of people, that sounds super exciting. To me, I was 99% terrified, like 1% excited. Like, I felt so completely unqualified. I had been saved less than 5 years at the time. I had just graduated a ministry school, but my question was, who am I to go lead anything of substance, let alone do so on the other side of the world? And the Lord spoke to me and started to renew my thinking to show me I was asking the wrong question. The question shouldn't have been, who am I? The question should have been, who is he? And what could he do by my willingness to say yes through the power of his Holy Spirit in me? And as he continued to shape my heart and my mind, I reached a place where I was 51% excited and 49% terrified at the idea. So then at that point, I actually told my wife. I hadn't told her this point because I was, a little overwhelmed. But now I'm excited to tell my wife because she always wanted to go back to South Africa. So I figure I'm going to tell her now and she's going to smother me with hugs and kisses. It's going to be great. So I tell her the Lord's telling us we should go to South Africa. And I get the exact opposite reaction. She completely shuts down for a week, acts weirder than she ever had the entire time I knew her. So I'm just confused. So finally, a week later, I ask her, like, what's going on? And she begins to ask me, it felt like a million, but just a lot of questions about what it's going to look like. And I didn't have the answers to 99% of them, and I had to assure her, like, honestly, I don't have the answer to 99% of your questions. But I do trust that God will give us the answers as we walk one step of faith at a time with him and let him lead us on this journey. And then that night, as she was laying in bed, God revealed to her that as much as she wanted to return to South Africa, she had gotten comfortable in San Diego. She'd gotten comfortable with her life, her job, where she lives, her friends, her church. And God, being as amazing as he is, he actually said, you can keep this lifestyle and I will still bless it. He said, I'll still bless it. He said, or you can go on an adventure with me. And she was convicted to the heart. And she said, of course, God, I want to go on an adventure with you. So we started walking out this journey, and we moved here about a year and a half ago. And to see what God has done since we said yes and moved here is just incredible. First and foremost, the work that he's done in our hearts and lives as we've walked with him in obedience has just been mind-blowing to me. And then the opportunities he's given us, bringing us to this amazing family of Josh Shen, first of all, people that are just in love and devoted to the Lord, has been an answered prayer because we knew no one when we came here. And then the opportunities to use my gift to stand in front of you guys, to teach at TMT, to be an elder in this church in such a short period of time, like only God can do those things. But first I had to trust him. I had to be obedient. I had to follow his leading and just say, yes, Lord, use me and come here with a lot of question marks as we came, just trusting him one step of faith at a time. And this morning I want to ask the question of each and every one of you, where is God leading you? Here and now, at this point, in this season of your life, where is God leading you? Because you see, it's the first Sunday of a new year, 2020. I bet a lot of preachers have titled their preach 2020 Vision this Sunday. I avoided that temptation. Thank you. I knew Mike would appreciate that. But it's the first Sunday of a new year. Some argue it's even the first Sunday of a new decade, right? And with that, there's this sense of hope, this sense of excitement this time of year, that this year is going to be different than last year. This year is going to be better. This year, all those prophetic words are going to come to pass. We have this sense of excitement when the calendar turns to a new year. And it's also that summer holiday season that everyone looks forward to, a time to rest, a time to either take off from work or work will at least slow down, a time perhaps to get away somewhere, a time to spend more time with family and loved ones. And then New Year's Eve comes, and it goes, and the new calendar is here. The new year is here. And my wife and I were having lunch on New Year's Day, and she made a comment that was fairly obvious, but needed to be said. She said that it doesn't really feel much like a new year. Everything around us is pretty much the same. The weather's pretty much the same. And now today, we're 5 days into a new year, 5 days into a new decade. You've been on summer holiday for 3 weeks now. You've had that break that you knew you needed 3 weeks ago. And then before you know it, it's January 6th, or it's the middle of January, and the kids are back in school, and your work schedule is back to normal, and you look around and you realize that not much has changed from the previous year around you. And I wonder, as we enter this new year, have you made any changes to what you're doing on a daily basis, on what you're choosing to focus on each day? Or were you just hoping that the circumstances around you would change, and for that reason, that life would be different this year? They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result. And in the midst of life, in the midst of all the busyness, all the distraction that it offers, we can get caught in a rut very easily, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And we can just go through the same motions over and over, praying and hoping that we'll feel different if the circumstances around us will just miraculously change. And our God is so graceful and so merciful. He's an awesome God. He may just do exactly that. He may radically change everything around you to a point where you can't help but just praise him, worship him, be just overwhelming with joy and gratitude. He may do that for you. He is an awesome God, and he can do that for you. But I also know that when we look at Scripture, we see that he may not do that for you. Or better said, he may not do it in the way that you expect it to look, or the way that you would like it to look. And I say that because when we look at Scriptures like Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, we see that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So it might not look the way that we think it should look. But what I do know is that God wants to lead you somewhere. He doesn't want you to stay in the same place or as the same person that you were yesterday or that you were in 2019. He wants to lead you somewhere. And this morning I want to take a closer look at a few verses in a well-known psalm. Most of you should know this psalm, Psalm 23. And I want to focus on the first three verses in Psalm 23. So starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's the first thing I want to look at, and God's already been highlighting it this morning, is that he is Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mike shared a passage from Ephesians. Another one that came to me as I was preparing was Philippians 2. Philippians 2, starting in verse 6, talking about Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? Right here, right now, do you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? And it's one of the most important questions that you'll ever grapple with and answer in your life. And if we're having a conversation over coffee, you might say, well, of course, Pete, I'm a Christian. My parents were Christians. I've always been a Christian. I even said a prayer once in church, and I'd say, well, that's great to hear. But why don't you tell me about your life this past year? Why don't you tell me where you spent your time? What were the activities that were most important to you as you went through this past year? Why don't you tell me about what your mind was focused on this past year? What were the thoughts that were dominating your mind as you went through this past year? Tell me about the conversations you had. What were the types of conversations you had? How did you speak about others? Tell me about where you spent your money this year. What did you spend it on, and who did you spend it on? How did you use your finances? And as you told me all these things about your life, just looking at this past year, would it be obvious to me from the way that you actually lived your life that you do acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and that you've made a decision to follow him with your entire life? Would it be obvious to me? You may have seen a movie called Do You Believe? And in that movie, there's an EMT that had witnessed to a dying man, and he was standing trial for doing so. And he shared a question with the prosecuting attorney that, man, it shook me the first time I heard it, to be honest with you. And the question is this, and ask yourself this question. If you were accused of being a Christian and you had to stand trial for it, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? If you were accused of being a Christian and you had to stand trial for it, would there actually be enough evidence in your life to convict you? Because just saying I'm a Christian isn't enough. We see Jesus when he's in Matthew 15, verse 8, he's talking about people that honor him with their lips. They're saying things about him. They're saying I'm a Christian. But when they look at their lives, it's very clear that their hearts are far from him. He wants you to acknowledge him as Lord and to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Is the Lord truly your shepherd? And when we continue in verse 1, back in Psalm 23, we see the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And in a moment, we'll look at some of the things that a shepherd does, but next I want to focus on the last part of that verse. I lack nothing. Because you may have entered 2020, you may have entered this new year thinking that you need something additional added to your life in order for you to feel happy, to feel grateful, for 2020 to be the best year ever. You may be thinking that you need something additional in your life. If I only had that new job, if I only had the promotion at work, if I only had a husband or a wife, if I only had a home, if I only had 10 less kilograms around my waist and hips, if I only had blank, then I could be joyful, then I could be grateful, then I could be thankful. And before I came to know the Lord, which was 8 years ago, I spent so many of my years just chasing what they call the pursuit of happiness in America, the pursuit of happiness. And man, I was pursuing happiness like some of the best of them. I was blessed to have a pretty well-paying job, and I was also able to spend money as fast as I made it. So I tried everything to find happiness. And a lot of it was in activities like huge sporting events. If you know American sports, I've been to the Super Bowl. I've been to the World Series. I loved concerts. If you know Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, I've seen them 67 times in concert. Restaurants, I've eaten at some of the, I know some people are still, 67 times. Restaurants, I've been to the nicest restaurants in New York City, South Beach, Miami, Las Vegas, you name it. I was always trying to pursue happiness, and no matter what I tried or did, there was always something lacking. I could never find fulfillment until Christ revealed himself to me 8 years ago. And I made a decision to acknowledge him as Lord, and I made a decision to walk away from life the way that I thought I should be living life to following him the way that he wants me to live life. And I realized that without Christ, I lacked everything, no matter what I tried. With Christ, I lacked nothing. And if you're sitting here today feeling that if you only had that one additional thing in your life, that would be the difference maker, I want to tell you that if the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. If the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. And Jesus talks a little bit about this in Matthew 6. Where he says, do not worry about your life. And he's talking about the things we eat, the things we're going to wear. And he says in verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he'll give us all the things that we need. And mind you, these are the things that he knows we need. Not the things that we sometimes think we need in our own thinking and our own understanding. But the things we really need, he will give them to us. But we have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So the question is, what are you seeking first and foremost in your life right now? Each day as you wake up and begin your day, what is dominating your thoughts? Is it seeking him in prayer? Is it praising him for who he is? Praising him that he adopted you as his son or his daughter? Is it meditating on his word and his promises and his faithfulness? Is it thinking through your day ahead and asking, how can I be more Christ-like in my attitude and my actions as I go through my day today? Are you seeking him first, or are you seeking first something else in this world that you believe to be lacking in your life? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Psalm 23, back in verse 2 and 3, we see that we not only lack nothing, but we see some of the incredible ways that the Lord cares for us as his shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. And I remember when I first started to incorporate scheduled rest, Sabbath-type rest in my life. When I started to do that, I would simply do less. I would work less, and I would sleep more. That was the way that I would rest, maybe on a weekly basis. And I found that after taking these periods of rest, I was no more refreshed than before I took the rest. And some of you might be feeling that way now as the holiday is coming to an end. You're looking at this time off you had from work, these weeks, and you feel like you're little to no more rested than the holidays began. And I was in that place, and then I heard a teaching that just radically changed my perspective. And this teacher said that rest isn't a physical condition, it's a spiritual condition. And I realized that just taking time off from the hustle and bustle of the world and work and activities wasn't enough if I wasn't also abiding in Him. That I'm missing the mark because He refreshes my soul, not just walking away from physical activity. I realized that I needed to remain in Him. I needed to spend time with Him in prayer, in solitude, in His Word, meditating on His Word, trusting in all circumstances, trusting Him that even as I'm taking time off to rest, that the world won't fall apart, that He still has it in the midst of my rest. Are you abiding in Him and allowing Him to refresh your soul? And lastly, in verse 3, we see He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. For His name's sake. Because you see, it's all for His glory. Our lives here on this earth are meant to be lived in a way that brings Him glory. That's your ultimate purpose in life, to bring God glory. And earlier I asked you, where is the Lord leading you? Because we see that the Lord, as our shepherd, will guide us along the right paths. In Proverbs 16:9, we read, in their hearts, humans plan their course. Mike mentioned earlier, you might have planned your course for this coming year already, but the Lord establishes their steps. And we're just 5 days into the year, and your year might already not look like the way that you planned it. But, if you follow the Lord, He will establish your steps. And we see what that looks like in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Ferner, if I could use you as a volunteer. Ferner's here supporting from Sunnydale PM congregation, one of my dear friends. If you could just stand here, don't take any steps, okay? So realize that there's a right path that God wants to lead you on. So for example, Ferner's path, God's destination for him in this next season of his life might be that entrance door over there. And that door, it might represent what he wants Ferner to be doing in his career or his mission. It may represent the type of person he wants Ferner to be or become in this next season. It may represent the way that he wants Ferner to relate to people, perhaps his family, perhaps his coworkers, perhaps his congregation. But there's a place and a path that God wants to lead Ferner to. And God will use different methods of communication to point him in the direction of that path that he wants to go on. But so often we can get stuck in the place we're standing at currently for so many reasons, because sometimes we'll look ahead at the path ahead and it doesn't make much sense to us. Why would God want me to go to that door? That door's closed. That door's open. So it might not make sense in our understanding, so we'll stand still, or we might see the obstacles. How on earth am I going to get past those five rows of people and chairs to get to where God's trying to lead? So we'll look ahead, we'll try and figure out how God's going to get us to that point He wants us to go, and we'll see obstacles, we'll be leaning on our own understanding, and we won't actually take a step and let God establish our step and let God make our path straight and let Him lead us to where He wants us to go. You can have a seat, brother. And I don't know what that step is for you as you sit here today. That step might look like trusting Him by seeking Him first and waking up an hour earlier in the morning to spend time with Him before you do anything else in the day. That might be the step that He's leading you to. But in your own understanding, you might say, but Pete, you don't understand. I cannot do without an hour of sleep. In your own understanding, you might say that. That step might look like finally forgiving someone close to you who's hurt you very badly. because you know how much God has forgiven you and that he calls you to do so, that might be the step he's leading you into. But in your own understanding, you might say, but Pete, that doesn't make sense. You don't understand what that person did to me and how wrong it was. And that's your own understanding holding you from taking that step. That step might look like making a big shift in the direction of your career that the elders have prayerfully counseled you through. But in your own understanding, you might say, but Pete, I'm not sure how it's going to work out if I do that. If I make that shift, what's it going to look like 6 months from now or a year from now? And you lean on your own understanding, and you don't take that step. And the Lord can only make your path straight and direct your steps as you take a step of faith with him. And you take a step of faith, and you take a step of faith, and then he can direct you to where he wants to lead you, where he wants to go, but you have to take that step of faith and trust him as you do so. We have to acknowledge him as Lord. We have to understand that in him we lack nothing. We have to see him as our shepherd. We have to trust him with all of our heart. And we have to submit to him and follow him as Lord. Let's all bow our hearts in prayer. You may have come in here this morning for one reason. You may be here with a family member. And God may have had other plans for you this morning. And you, as you sat here today and as you saw people worship and praise God in a way that you've never seen before, as you heard about Jesus Christ as Lord, heard about who he is, the Lord may have revealed himself to you in a way that you never had before. You may have thought you knew who he was. You may have thought what church was all about, what life was all about, and God may have revealed something very different to you today. He may have revealed himself to you and his desire to be in relationship with you, to be the Lord of your life.